Ephesians chapter 6. You know, the Bible says in the last days there will be stressful times. I think most of us realize that we've arrived. We've arrived at stressful times. But when we have stressful times, it doesn't mean that we need to fail. No. We are not going to fail in stressful times. We're going to be strong and be victorious in stressful times. Because we do not depend on the times. We depend on the Lord who gives us strength and wisdom to make it through. And there in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about, these difficult days that we sometimes have. Reading there from verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How do we become strong in the Lord? When you're always in contact with Him. Don't forget about Him halfway through the day when stressful times take over. You still realize God's here and He's going to help me through. Stay in touch with Him. Also, we become strong in the Lord when we feed on His Word. Because His Word gives us strength. And His Word strengthens our faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing the Word of God. And oftentimes, and I pray for our church, and I say, Lord, as we go through difficult days, some of our people, just as Jesus prayed for old Peter, that his faith will not fail. Because our faith cannot fail. If our faith fails, then we fail. And so we need to be in touch with the Word of God, and that's how we become strong in the Lord. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the tricks, or the schemes of the devil. That you may be able to do what? Stand. Stand. And that's what it's all about. It's to stand. Because the enemy is trying to push you around. He's trying to push you out of your faith walk. He's trying to push you away from your stand in the truth. And he wants you to fail. And the Apostle Paul says he brings schemes and tricks, you know, and wiles, things that he does to make you fail and doubt. But he says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes we do think we do, eh? And sometimes we want to wrestle with flesh and blood. Now, don't look so religious. I know that sometimes when things get tough, we want somebody to blame and somebody to fight with. But Paul says, no, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is just being used to bring stress to your life. But that's not the real enemy. That's not the real enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our real enemy. And they come with tricks. They come with all kinds of schemes and plans to make us fail. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. So it's all about standing. It's all about remaining standing and not fall and not yield, not compromise, not give in, but win by standing. Standing in the truth. Standing in our salvation. Standing in our faith in God. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So he has fiery darts that he fires off against us, hoping that we will fall. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, I don't want to talk about the armor of God this morning, but I want to talk about standing. Because the pressure is on God's people to walk away from our stand in the truth and our stand in faith in God. To walk away from our purpose, not only as individuals, but also as the church. And begin to focus on the problems, solving problems, instead of focusing on our purpose. So we need to learn how to stand, and we need to make a firm decision that we are going to stand. I'm not walking away from my purpose. I'm not walking away from God because things when things get tough, I'm not giving up on my relationship with God through His Word and through fellowship with God. Nothing is changing because things get tough. We just continue on doing what we always did and grow in the Lord. And we do not plan to fail. I don't know if you saw in the news this week, a teacher in Edmonton got fired because he dared to give to students who did not do their homework a zero. He got fired. Now, even if you give them 100%, they still fail. They just fool themselves. Even if you look like you passed and it's on your report card that you passed, you still fail. Right? You may look like a winner, but if you failed, you failed. And God help us with the future. If that's the way we prepare the future of this nation, then we have trouble. We have worries. Because there are some tough tests out there. They are much tougher than a test in school. But the test in school prepares us for the tests of life. And we cannot pass a test in school. What's going to happen when the tests of life come? You fail. And we don't plan to fail. I don't know about you, but it's tough to fail. It's tougher to fail than it is to pass. Years ago, we were going through a very difficult time in our lives. And I just felt, look, we fell. And we failed in ministry. We failed. And we were attending a conference in New Jersey at the time. And that was about 1996, thereabouts. And there were about 5,000 people in attendance. And T.D. Jakes, who knows who T.D. Jakes is? He spoke that evening. And suddenly he looked up and he said, oh, God's telling somebody here, it was just a test. Don't worry, it's just a test. And I kind of felt the way you're speaking to us. But I said, well, there's 5,000 people here. Cannot be us. Cannot be us. But you know what? Looking back, I realized it was just a test. That's all it was. It was just a test. Now, the thing with a test is it prepares you for promotion. A test prepares you for something bigger. A test prepares you for the road ahead. Because if you don't go through your test, you just stay where you are. And you fossilize. And God knows far too many Christians already fossilized in their faith walk. We cannot afford to do that. They refuse to pass their tests. And they just cave in. They just compromise. And give up and stay where they are. Spiritual infants. While God is looking for men and women that are strong in their faith, that have a responsibility in the kingdom, and that can move things forward. We sang this morning about the anthem of the renowned of the Lord. Where are the renowned of the Lord? The ones that pass their tests. The strong ones. They are the renowned of the Lord. And I believe that we are entering a time when the renowned of the Lord will be seen. Because they're passing some tests. Now, the time of test is not fun. It's not easy. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. Nobody asks for a test. Nobody asks for tribulation to come. But you know what? When it's over, we say, thank you, Lord. And we look down on life from our higher height. I say, we passed that one. We passed that one. Thank God for the tests when they come. And we hunker down and we say, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. This storm will blow over and we'll come out on the other side stronger and wiser. Because we are born again to win and not to lose. And not to fail. We were born again to be winners in Christ. I like people who have zeal for the house of the Lord. Man, I want to be close to people who have a zeal burning inside of them. When you spend a few minutes with them, that zeal rubs off on you. That's the people that I like to be close with. I don't like to be close to people that when they leave your company, you feel, boy, they suck the life out of me. Well, we need to encourage one another. And the zeal of the Lord will bring that energy that will move things forward. If everybody's filled with the zeal of the Lord and for the house of the Lord, just imagine what we will do. When I was in the military, and I was only 16 when I went to the military and went through some tough tests there as a 16-year-old boy that never left home before. My father made a joke the last day that I slept at home. He said, tomorrow morning the captain will bring you coffee in bed. Well, that never happened. Don't look forward to that. We went through some tough tests in those days. But we have learned every time we passed that we become stronger. We can handle some things we didn't think we could handle. And we took pride in that. It brought honor to us that we could do things that we didn't think we could do. And it brought a zeal into our lives to always want to win, to overcome the obstacles that come against. And there always will be obstacles. There always will be. But we had people in those days, and you have them everywhere, that were always on what they called light duty. Because they never felt good. They were always on light duty. Or they were always sick. They were always there. I forget what they called the hospital, that little hospital there. That's where they spent their time in the military, was in the hospital, waiting for the time to be over. But the rest of us were working hard. And we felt, I don't want to be on light duty. I can handle the heavy duty. Because that makes us strong. And here in the kingdom of God, there's a lot of heavy duty going on. And heavy lifting. But it's fun. Amen. Because the victory is so sweet. It is so sweet. We look back and say, man, that was a horrible time. But thank God we're over that. And now since we want that one, the devil knows that doesn't work. We beat him on that one. He brought that trick, didn't work. Brought that one, didn't work. These people just continue to stand in what they believe, and they continue to stand. And sometimes it's tough to take a stand. But what else can you do? It's worse to give up. There was a gentleman here in the Old Testament, and there in 2 Samuel, let's quickly read there, 2 Samuel chapter 23, that I always think about. Second Samuel chapter 23. And there's a whole lot of these heroes. I don't want to go through all of them. And verse 11. Second Samuel chapter 23 and verse 11. It says, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. Now, let's not run when the Philistines show up, okay? We have lentils to protect. Verse 12, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. I like that man. I like his heart. We know his name. We don't know the names of those that ran away. It wasn't worth mentioning them. But it was worth mentioning the guy that stood and defended. It was just a field of lentils. That's all it was. But he said, well, these are my lentils, and you're not getting my lentils. And you come to take my lentils, you get a fight. And you lose that fight because I win this fight. That's a man with zeal. That's the type that makes the church strong. Even if everybody runs away, I stand. And if we all stand, there will be no telling where we can go. People say the sky is the limit. I'm telling you the sky is not the limit. There is no limit. There's no limit to what you can do when you give God a free pass in your life. Oh, the devil will try to stop you. He will try to resist you. He will try to derail you. He'll do whatever he can. But remember, you were born again to win. You can win every single fight that comes. You can win every single one. If you're strong in the Lord, you can win. Look, there's a lot of reasons when you look around you to be discouraged. There's a lot of reasons. They say about 2,000 pastors resign from the ministry every month in the U.S. Discouragement. Discouragement. Disappointment. The lack of zeal kills ministers and churches. The lack of zeal is deadly. But when we are strong in the Lord, the zeal of the Lord will fill our hearts and give us the energy when we have no energy. I've been there many times where I say, you know what? I think this is it for me. I've been there many times. You have no idea what it is to stand on the front lines. And that's why when I read reports like this, where children give a free pass without doing anything, I say, God, there's a day when they will stand on the front lines. How will they win? How will they win? If they can't even do the little that's expected of them? How can they win? And then I say to myself, and maybe I'm just a little cynical, I won't be here, so I won't worry about that. But while I'm here, I'm fighting. There's a zeal for the house of the Lord that keeps on coming up inside of us and say, you can win, you can win. This is a tough problem, but you can win. You can win because this will put you over. This test is not to defeat you. This test is to raise you up. This test is not to discourage you, but this test is for others to be encouraged through you. Because they watch you and they see you win, and it gives them courage to move on and fight. The enemy has tried through 2,000 years to annihilate the church and failed. He can't beat the church. He cannot beat the church. He used mighty empires to come with all their anger and their wrath and their soldiers to destroy the church. And the churches came back stronger. You cannot beat the church. The best company that you can be in is the church of the living God. That's the best company that you can be in. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and I want to spend a bit of time there. Matthew chapter 4, and I'm just having a hard time here because thoughts are just rushing through me as we talk about this. There's so much at stake. There is so much at stake that we cannot afford to lose. Now, don't be quiet on me this morning. You know, there's no such thing as a quiet church. Where does that come from? We all preach together here in this church. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, and this is where Jesus was tempted. And verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to do what? To be tempted. Your margin in the Bible says to be tested. To be tested. Why did Jesus have to be tested? Because if he didn't pass some tests against the devil, he couldn't heal the sick. He couldn't preach the truth. He couldn't raise the dead. He could do nothing. There was a time right in the beginning of his ministry where the scores had to be settled and the winner had to be declared. He had to be tested. The Son of God, Jesus himself, had to be tested. Now, if he had to be tested, don't think you're excluded. You're not. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Who tempted him? God? No. But he was led by the Spirit to be tempted, to be tested. So when you tested, when you are being tested, just remember that God is having you writing a test. Don't be angry with God. He just wants to promote you. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now here is what the devil does. He knows everybody has a weak spot. He knows that. And he's looking to find it. Because he knows that's the easiest way to defeat you. And it doesn't matter how strong you are in some areas of life, he is going to try and attack you on the weak spot. It doesn't matter how strong you are, how smart you are, you have a weak area that you need to protect. Any chain is as strong as its weakest link. And he knew that Jesus had fasted and that he was hungry, and the easiest way to get to him was to tempt him with bread. And that's what he will do with you. He'll come at a weak spot. And so we need to take care of that. We need to be smart enough to say, well, this area in my life is weak, and I need to pay special attention to that. Because that is where the enemy is going to try to come in. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What did Jesus do in that temptation? He stood. He did not give in. He did not give in. He did not compromise. He did not cave in. He stood. The enemy was working him, but he stood. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now the scary part in all of this is the devil knows the Bible. And the devil knows the Bible better than some Christians do. We have some catching up to do. We need to know the Word of God, because that's where our faith, that's where good answers come from. Because you give the devil what God said, he knows, well, that's the end of the argument. Because God's not going to change his mind just because you're going through a tough time. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up. You see, he's not giving up. The devil is not giving up. And he's not. When he's not giving up, you are not giving up. Because the strongest one will stand. He didn't walk away the first time when he got beaten. No, he came back. Sometimes we are the closest to our defeat right after a victory. When we feel so strong and so good and so powerful and so smart, then he comes. Because he keeps on coming back. And we can never let our guard down. Okay, let's read on. Verse 8. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now here's a few interesting things here. The first thing is, he tried twice. He challenged Jesus twice on his identity. If you are the Son of God, if you are, prove this or do that. If you are. And that's what he does with us. He says, he's come against our identity in Christ. Who are you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? You're not the same person you were before Christ. Because now in Christ, you have a new identity. You become a child of God. And he's coming to challenge that identity. And because you are a child of God, you've been blessed with a few things. And he's coming after those things. If you are a child of God, why are you going through this? Why are you hungry? Stuff like that. If you are, Well, doesn't matter what you say, I am in Him. And if anyone is in Him, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's my identity in Christ. And He's coming to challenge that. And it makes it hard. But we stand our ground and we say, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a new creation. I'm not where I used to be. I'm a new creation. I have been remade in the image of God. And I am not where I used to be. And I can fight and I can win and will. Because compromise is not part of our walk. And people will call you names, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't change anything. You can't blend with the masses. You blend with God's people. The other thing is, He came and He tried to put just a little spin on the Scripture. Well, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Well, He could do that, you know. He could do that, but He said, I'm not going to tempt God. Because God's my provider. I'm not going to tempt God. And first of all, I'm not going to obey you. I'm not listening to your suggestions. I will listen to what God says. And so many people have failed because they put a spin on the Word of God. They just put a little color to it, just to make it a little easier, just to give them some permission to do something that God didn't tell them to do, and fail the test. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, not those who grab verses out of context and try to build something on it. Come on now. Some people only listen to what they want to listen to, and the rest is not for them. Oh, God's going to change everything in your life. And may I just quickly say this? If nothing has changed in your life the last while, maybe you need to get back to God. Don't be quiet now. I know people don't like change. I don't like change. But you know, God is changing us. The Apostle Paul tells us that He wants to change us from glory to glory to glory. And if we're not changing, then it means we have left the ways of God. Oh, I'm in the wrong church now. I'll come here quickly. I'll hide here behind the pulpit. And so the other thing the devil tried was to offer Him a shortcut. Well, if you worship Me, all these things, all these kingdoms, I'll just give it to you. He knew that Jesus was going to come, the King of all kings, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. He knew that. But He was offering Him a shortcut. And shortcuts are not always from God. I always tell you, when you walk with God, you're not in the microwave, you're in the crock pot. He's going to take His time to build character inside of us. He's going to take His time to build us strong, because there's much at stake, and God needs a proven army that have won some battles to take us through to the end. The grand victory of the church. There is no shortcut. I'm sorry. And if you think that this is an easy life, I'm sorry too. Because Jesus said, you'll have trouble in the world. If they hated me, they will hate you. And the devil knows how to bring stressful times upon us. But we can win. Because we're not looking just at having a nice day today and forget about tomorrow. Don't talk about tomorrow. Don't talk about eternity. Don't talk about the future. Today is the day. Let me tell you something. Everything you say and everything you do, you are planning your place in eternity. And you go without zeal, you might look back for a whole eternity and say, my God, why didn't I just put in a little more? Just look at where I am. It's nice, but there's a whole lot better than this. Let's go to Hebrews. Let me close with this. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. When we read there in Luke about the temptation of Jesus, it actually says that the devil left him for a time. So when what he was tempted with there was not the only things that he tempted him with, it was just at that time. Because here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let's hold fast. Let's hold on to our confession. Let's not water it down. Let's not weaken our confession. Let us stand in what the Word of God says about us. Let's hold fast our confession. Because we have a high priest that knows how to take care of us. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So, the pressure that you experience, the weaknesses that you feel, the stress that comes, Jesus was there. Now, you know, it says there, yet he was, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, you know, there's a breaking point where people snap. Years ago, my father-in-law had a brick-making business. He was making bricks, and he found out certain bricks that he made, and it became very popular. But the builder said, we need to know how strong that brick is. So they sent it away, and they tested it, which means they put a lot of pressure upon it so that they could learn at what weight the brick would break. And then they knew the strength of the brick. So just like those bricks had a breaking point, we sometimes have a breaking point where we snap, we yield, we cave in, we compromise. We put water into the wine. We weaken the truth. But Jesus went all the way and didn't snap. He took the full pressure of it. He knows what temptation is. He knows what pressure is. He knows what we go through. And now we have a high priest that knows what we are going through. And he understands because he has been there. He was there. Let's read that verse 15 again. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here comes the invitation. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you get to your breaking point, you have an invitation to come and say, I'll find grace there and mercy. This is a time of need. This is a time where my strength is failing. This is a time where I can't handle it anymore. Jesus says, I've been there. I know how to do it. Come here. I'll help you. And so a failure is never a good excuse. Let's be strong in the Lord. Let's be strong in the Lord. And so often when Christians buckle under the pressure, instead of running to God, they run away from God. That's not a smart move at all. That's exactly what the devil wants. But now there's an invitation. When we feel to run away, we can run to the throne of grace. Because we will find mercy, we will find grace, and we have a sympathetic ear of somebody who's been there. Says, I know what that is. And when Jesus passed those tests, angels came and ministered to him. Praise God. Jesus. You want to see creativity? Go listen to excuses. Man, I tell you, they're all original. They're all original. You think, you know. But no excuse really is good enough. Sorry, we're in the army of God. Excuses bring light duty. We don't have time for light duty. There's a war to be won here. We're in trouble if we all go on light duty. People today don't understand what commitment is. Let me tell you something. You go through a few tests, you learn what commitment is. But where there's no commitment, there's no respect either. But we're going to walk tall with our heads up. We say, I'm in the army of the Lord, and I may be limping, but I'm in. I'm in the fight. Count on me. Count on me. I'm in. And I've never seen somebody in the middle of the war that looks good. All the makeup perfect. The hair done. Not a spot on the suit. You're not fighting. You come there all bloody and muddy. I say, yes, a man that knows what it is to be in a war. I like to be with you. Don't try to hide it. It gives me courage. The worse you look, the more respect we have for you. Because you know at least you're fighting. It's nice to win. It's nice to win. Let them not say, we how does that story go, that we won or lost the game, but let them not say we never played. We may have lost and we may have won, but let them never say you failed to play. Hey, it's fun in the house of the Lord. And in the army of God. Yes. We're around committed people, boy. I tell you what, you have people that can help you up when you feel a little weak. Amen. That fellowship will make you strong in the Lord. But you, when you're on your own, you can become weak and nobody will know it. Let's all stand. I know we're fighting. I'm fighting. I know some of you are fighting. But fighting doesn't mean you're going to fail. No. It just means you are getting ready to be promoted. You are up for promotion. That's what it means. You are up for promotion. After this, you're going to be smarter and wiser and stronger. Yes. And I like it what Rick God once says years ago, to hell with the devil. We win. Let's all pray. Father, I thank you that you promised never to leave us or to forsake us. And Jesus said, he'll be with us till the last day. And we know the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us, and he is not leaving. He'll be with us for eternity. And so, we are well equipped to win in life. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here in this body. Thank you, Lord, as we look over the years, and we see their faithfulness, their commitment that strengthened this body and gives us hope and courage for the future. And Lord, as we go sometimes through a weekday and we feel weak, thank you that we can encourage ourselves and say, I'll be strong in the Lord. My Lord, I pray for those who are fighting today. I know some of us are fighting today. That this is a day of war. This is a day of battle for some. Will you reach down from heaven and touch their heart? Encourage them and strengthen them and protect them and turn their hearts toward you, Lord, that they will not run away from you, but to you right into the throne room and receive from you mercy and grace for today and for this battle. Thank you for touching every heart this morning, ministering to every heart, and bring us to a place of decision where we will say this morning, I will not compromise. I will not weaken Scripture. I will not twist it. I will not spin it, but I will stand in truth. Because there's no other way to win. And we hold our heads high this morning to your glory and say, Lord, we are here for you. We want to win for you, and we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.